Based on scripture, we look at the glory of God, and we look at why we need to worship Him. First of all, the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The problem for the Christian is not how to avoid buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. These are all integral parts of the human existence. The basic problem is how to avoid being controlled by the power that is behind those things that we've just mentioned, and the power of the evil one himself. It's easy to be tempted, isn't it? And let those things, buying, selling, eating, drinking, marrying, etc., it's easy to let them get out of control. And there is only one solution to this problem. As Christians, we must handle these routine activities for the glory of God. So, we will sell, we will buy, we will eat, we will drink, we will marry. All of those daily things, we are to do them for the glory of God. The example of Bach, Johanna Bach, said this. He inscribed every musical score, sacred or secular, with these words, Sol Gloria Deo. In other words, to God be the glory. So therefore our activities belong either to God, if we can do them to His glory. If we can't, then our activities probably belong to Satan. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? Remember that in the parable of the sower, Jesus described the seed that fell among thorns like this. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. In other words, ordinary things were being used by Satan to spoil God's work. And Satan still tries to do that today. Oh, says someone, I must have that dress, or I must have that record, or I must have that car. Oh, I must have it. Must you? Must we? We may retort that you don't pray about such things, but we should. We should pray when we're thinking of buying a car or any of those other ordinary things. Because if we don't pray, it could be that things get out of proportion and we may well come under the power that controls it all. Even with the most ordinary decisions and activities, our lives need to be centered in Christ and His glory. And that way our choices and actions will contribute to God's kingdom and not to Satan's. So the glory must be for God. And you probably heard me say in prayers or at the end of prayers, may the glory be to you, O God, alone. I wonder sometimes, those of us who are in leadership positions can be so easily tempted to think that we're good. God is good. I've got to confess, I could never stand up in public if it wasn't for the Spirit working in me. I was amazed when I first accomplished speaking in public. And I knew from the beginning it wasn't me. It was far greater power. Right, so we need to do things for the glory of God. But why do we need to worship God? Revelation 4 verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in this verse, we are given three reasons for worshipping. The first, he is to be worshipped for his holiness. It starts, holy, holy, holy. The word holy, repeated three times, emphasizes God's exceeding, unimaginable holiness. We can't imagine the greatness of his holiness. When the sun shines in great strength, plants with their roots deep in the soil grow. But those whose roots are not in the soil, they wither up. Similarly, if we are rooted and grounded in the soil of God's love, then we can blossom and flourish and not be shriveled up as disciples. Once we understand the holiness of God, we will worship him more fervently, more enthusiastically, for his incredible mercy in Jesus. The fact that he is so holy makes his forgiveness all the more amazing, and surely, therefore, it calls for our deepest worship. Secondly, from the same verse, God is worshipped for his complete power and authority. It says in that verse in Revelation, the Lord God Almighty. The first Christians, in the midst of their suffering, needed to know that truth, and so do we. A vicar, while preaching on suffering, once said, "What would you say if I dropped down dead?" Not long afterwards, he did just that. One of the things written in a letter to his widow was this. I don't know how she took it, but this is what was said. The Lord reigns. The Lord was reigning in that situation. I don't know how the lady took it. Thirdly, God is worshipped for his changelessness. He is who he was and who he is and who he is to come. In other words, God does not change. And this is a fantastic truth that we can hold on to. And that is great. We live, in other words, in a world of change, don't we? We see so many changes. But God does not change. He is the Eternal One. He is the great I Am, who is always present and sees our innermost being. As I've said several times, we have no secret from God. When we realize all of this, we will take care to draw near to worship God, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us, what from? From a guilty conscience. And that's what Hebrews 10:22 tells us. So God alone deserves to be glorified. And one important way we can do this is to worship him. Now, I have daily bread. And if you read Daily Bread, you may know that apart from the daily devotions, at the beginning of November, there is just a special thing. It's not for the 31st of October or the 1st of November, but it was entitled The Benefits of Worship. And I thought, oh, I must read it. You may have read it yourself already. The Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith states, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God, that's worship. To enjoy him forever, that's all-compassioning a reward that includes these benefits. And here they are. This is what I want to share with you. Forgiveness. And a verse of scripture for all of them. True worship recognizes God's holiness and accepts his forgiveness. Through worship, we are purified. And then the next one is guidance. Those who honor God will be given wisdom and will receive his guidance day by day. Provision. Jesus said that God will meet our material needs if we give him first place in our lives. Love. The love of God is experienced in the hearts of all those who are true worshippers. Power. To all who give God the glory he deserves, he gives the enablement to do the things that he requires of us. In other words, things that we couldn't do on our own, he gives us the power to do them if they are the things that give him the glory. Protection. He faithfully watches over all who acknowledge him, and he keeps them in all of life's changing circumstances. He protects us, whatever the change. And the last one, glory. All true worshippers will one day be glorified. They inherit a new heaven and a new earth, and they join a company of believers and angels in perfect, uninterrupted worship. And they give a verse for every one of those. And I thought, as we're talking about worship and glory, then I just felt I had to share that with you. So there we are, and now we're going to sing a lovely hymn, one of my favourites. It's an old one, but